Hi there, you're welcome to the Vulnerability Podcast with PCTV. On here, we explore everything that makes us unapologetically human, because everyone has a story or two. Hey guys, you're welcome to the Vulnerability Podcast with PCTV. On here, we explore everything that makes us unapologetically human. This is season two, as you know, and the theme is everyone has a story or two. On this episode, we're going to be talking about dropping out of school and the story after. And I have two amazing guests. We have Chief Osariti. Say hi.
Hi.
And we also have Victor Fa. Hi, Victor.
What's up?
Awesome. Thank you guys for doing this. So I really want to have this episode because I know that, especially in our culture, we tend to favor education a lot.
True.
Everybody's like, you have to go to school. It's like they plan your life.
Yep.
You know, primary school, secondary school, and then university, NYC, then masters, all of it. And even when you don't follow that same trajectory, everybody's like, you know, what's happening? But then I also see that there are a lot of people who have become successful and they didn't follow that trajectory. But then the older generation are still like, oh, our lives are actually, you know, have been projected or planned for us. So I feel like it's very important for us to have like a very balanced point of view that there are people who are our age, who are millennials, who are killing it, who are doing amazing, but yet they didn't follow that said path. And so I have Chief Osariti, who didn't go to school at all. I don't even think that he even smelled it, right? And then we have Victor, who went to school but dropped out at some point. Coincidentally, they're both designers, but it's not to be a great designer, you have to not go to school. It's just coincidentally that they happen to be those two people who I know who are amazing now, but their story is not the same. It's not the same way everybody else has their story set. So we're going to hear their stories, and Victor is going to start. Please share with us briefly.
Great. So first, let me admit that until today, I think you mentioned it just before this conversation started properly, but I was processing it in my head. I wasn't even aware that Osariti didn't go to school at all.
Yeah.
But then, so my story begins from, I grew up in a village in Osun State. We grew up there because my dad is a traditional ruler, and that's all I've known. At age three, I think we moved to the town at age three, and I was, now I think thinking about it again now, I think the intention for my dad was, we were in the village, but he needed to create a different experience for us, such that we were not necessarily affected by our immediate or limited by our immediate environment.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we had a room dedicated to encyclopedias and really big books about almost everything from, well, we had like 20, 30 versions of the Bible, but as well as several versions of encyclopedias and other things. So it was both informed all kinds of upbringing that my dad wanted to give us. Naturally, I saw that I was attracted to the covers of these books. So I didn't read much of them, but I would really look at the covers and look at the images. But I had no idea that there was a career or anything in design. And so when I got in school, I found that there were people, because my brother ran a magazine, and I saw him literally pay people to design for him. And when these designs would come back, I discovered I would have opinions about them. So that was 100 level, 200 level. So why choosing what to be, when this asked that question, oh, what do you want to be? What's your future ambition? I have said different things like sailor, to be a pharmacist, to be all kinds of things. But I never said a designer because I wasn't even conscious of anything like that. What was on my mind by the time I filled that jam form was estate management. Just another random choice. I wanted architecture, but I felt there would be too much physics and mathematics in this thing, and it's not my thing.
Okay.
So I went for estate management. But on campus, I found out that there were people, young people like me, were getting paid to design. So I thought, oh, this thing, I have opinions on this thing now. This thing you guys are getting paid for, I have opinions on it. So my brother was like, oh, you should pay and learn. I didn't have 10,000 naira to pay them. But then I started playing with the software and I started to create stuff for my friends, my classmates, my hostel mates, I designed the logo of my hostel. Just do all of those things. And it began to build up. I began to get people say, oh, come and design something for, you know, there were always young people on campus who were not really on campus. They were on campus, but they were doing stuff. They would, you know, travel, represent the university here and there. And then gradually, those are people who could pay me something that began to make me feel, oh, there could be something indeed in this. And then that connected, things happened so fast. So that in 2014, I was invited to join a very huge project in Lagos. And then I would go to Lagos. And you'll be wondering if I was still in school because I would spend weeks in Lagos. And so at the earlier stage, I discovered that as school began to ask for more, I saw that I didn't have the interest and desire to give it. So we were asked to do 10 papers where we were supposed to travel somewhere to go do some research. I would rather spend my time researching on design or writing a proposal for a client. So the desire began to leave me. And I had cases where a particular lecturer, because when I answered questions in exams, I just really followed my logic, not necessarily what was written. That was just my natural way. But then I got really marked down for that kind of approach. And I'm like, okay, this system is not for me. And I'm not for this system. You know, we couldn't find a fit. And very easily, very quickly, I began to see that, okay, there's economic value in what I'm doing already. I could already, at some point, at a 300 level, I could earn what more than my lecturers did. And I had to then think about it. Why are we in school? Why do we have the certificate? Certificate is to certify that you are good in this particular thing. For a designer, the portfolio does just that. So I got a job actually in 2014 where I was coming to the office like twice a week in Lagos. By 1 month in, the HR was trying to arrange his documents and was like, oh, can you bring this, fill this form, do this, bring this. There was secondary school, there was university, and you're supposed to put which university and what you graduated with and all of those things. So I filled for secondary school and I left the other things blank and I dropped judgment for him. And he was pleased, like, seriously. Like, please complete this form. I'm like, it's done. All I have had is my secondary school. And then, you know, because the CEO directly employed me. And that's because there's a certificate. That certificate is the portfolio, right? Mm. It's the quality of what you can do in that sense. So I understood early that, so people had these fears of, oh, you're going to be stranded one day, the certificate. I'm like, no, the works of my hand is going to make way for me.
Come on now, come on now.
Preach it.
Yeah, because that's the definition of the kind of field I have chosen. It's not realistic as a medical doctor to drop out of school. That doesn't make sense, right? You can't personally show evidence of greatness in that field. But I understood my journey was unique, and whatever fears you guys have, you guys are just projecting your fears on me. I can see the part. I am doing this, portfolio proves it, I'm going to be the business out of it. And in the business, again, how well you serve the previous clients is the certificate, you know? So it wasn't even a hard choice for me. Many people marvel and say, how did you do it? So much bravery. I'm like, it's not even bravery, it's understanding. And really, I think that really summarizes the story, you know? Yeah, I think it does.
That's very interesting. Oh my God. It's not supposed to be inspirational.
Can we just end it now and then go home?
Mario. So so yours.
Ah, man. So, I mean, I did go to secondary school. In secondary school, I think just like Victor, I decided to do so many things. I tried to do computer science one point in time, do architecture one point in time. I also tried to do maybe engineering at some point in time as well. It was different things. But I think for me, I'm so grateful for my journey because going into SS1, they had chosen me to go into art class. And I said, so I joined art class. Then I came to school first week of school. Saw this beautiful girl walk by me and I said, who is this girl? So they said, she's in science class. I said, she's in science class, but she's not in my class. So I went to my, the teacher in charge of classes and they said, I need to move to science class. He said, you don't meet the cutoff mark. I said, sir, I need to be in science class. So somehow, didn't agree. I went to science class and stayed there. I did 1 week, 1 week, two. By the third week, they said, okay, fine, we'll just leave you there. If you fail, you'll go back to art class. So I stayed in science class and I, thrived there. I think that was very, very instrumental for me because even though it was a girl that took me there, did we date? I can't remember. I think we dated, child. I don't know. No, we dated.
Smooth.
But point is, it became something that looked like very irrelevant, in quotes, or just, something of the flesh, in the sense, became such a very instrumental part of my journey. So I'd done science class for 3 years, did senior work and all of that. I applied to go to university. First year I applied, I got admission to 2 different schools. My family had money to send me to school. So I said, okay, fine, no problem. Second year I applied, family still didn't have money to send me to school. This time it was a different story. I had foreign admission with some, discounts to go to. So I would have been in the UK, I'd done my my school in the UK and come back to Nigeria.
See the pride that you're supposed to be.
So because I didn't tell people that I'm half Nigerian, half British, So that happened. And then I said, okay, this was 2010. 2011, I was going to add another year. It was going to my birthday in March. I was tired of sitting at home and not doing anything. So I got up, you know, and this time where I moved to Kogi State as family. I got out of my house one day, wore a suit and long sleeve and said I was going out. My mother said, "Where are you going to?" I said, "I'm going out." She said, "Who do you know?" I said, "I'm going out." She said, "But it's not church day." I said, "I'm going out." So I went to the first
bank. She's stubborn.
I said, got on a bike, went to a bank, UBA, and said, "I want a loan." They said, okay. "Do you have collateral?" I say, "What's that one?" I say, "Okay, I don't have collateral." I say, "Okay, do you have a business idea that you want to use the money for?" I said, "No, I just want a loan." It's okay. "So how much money do you want?" I said, "Ha, good question. I want 10 million naira." Say, "So you don't have collateral, you don't have a business joking. Idea. I'm not even kidding. You don't have a collateral, you don't have a business idea, you want 10 million naira that you don't know what you want to use the money for yet. Say, "Well, maybe go and think about it and come back to us and we'll probably be able to give you a loan." So I left. I was now going to another bank. I said, "Okay, wait, they might be right. I can't get a loan because I don't have collateral, I don't have a business idea. So what do I do?" I went to the next bank. We had a family friend in this other bank and I said, "I want a job." He said, he can't give me a job because he thinks that we're okay. I said, no. I need a job. I need to actually do some work. You know, he said, "No, he's not going to give me a job." I said, I can be a cleaner. He said, "Sir, that one you can't even do. I would give you something, but cleaner, you're too lazy to do that." I said, "Well," so he now said, "Okay, maybe start a business." I said, "Okay." He says, "Do laundry, wash clothes for people." I was like, "Let me explain something to you. I wore this suit and long sleeve because all my clothes are dirty at home and I've not washed in 2 weeks. So what that means is I'm lazy. I can't wash." He said, "But just try it." By the time we had a big compound, we had a well, I could literally hang the whole neighborhood's clothes at the back of our house because we lived in compound by ourselves. I had the, what they call it now, capital. I had the, you know, structural capital. Infrastructure to run the laundry business. So I went home, thought about it. You know, I needed small capital. All I needed was detergent and starch. You know, we already had pressing iron. There was already good light in our area. So I was fine. I needed to buy a generator. So I went to him the next day, picked up his own clothes. He was my first customer. Picked up his clothes, did dry cleaning, did everything. They searched how to, you know, wash clothes and all of that. Washed his clothes, took it back to him. He called me back. This was a Tuesday. I picked it up, gave him back on Friday. On Monday, he wore one of the shirts to the office and called me on the phone on Monday morning. I was shouting. I said, "What did you do to my shirt?" I said, "Which shirt?" He said, "The ones that you washed." I said, "Any specific one?" He says, "This one, I washed it. I can't raise my hand down or anything." So starch was too much. I collected it back. I went back to him. Took them back, find a way to reduce the starch in it, took it back to him. He finally, you know, helped me start up the business. Gave me more clothes, introduced me to his own laundry guy before. The laundry guy put me through a couple of things, told me where to buy raw materials, like starch, where to buy the right starch, the right detergent, you know, where to buy packaging materials and all of that. I did that for a year, 2 months, got bored at some point. Made pretty good money. I was making 200K per month at the time, which was pretty good money.
Yeah.
I used to ball. Like, I had my MTN subscription, my BlackBerry that time. This was BlackBerry days. For 690, they had 1 month, 3 months, and 6 months. I used to pay for 6 months subscription off front. Because big boy. I used to change BlackBerry every other 6 months because I get bored easily. But you know, money has hurt all things. So you can be bored and fix your boredom because there's money.
Right.
So I got bored of doing laundry. I was really tired because that was something I really enjoyed doing. I just did it because at the time it was giving me money.
That's all you had.
I always knew I was going to do something in media. I didn't know exactly what. And at the time, I heard about graphic design once before from somebody who worked at briefly. He had come to church one day and used his laptop, did some design for somebody. They paid him. He called them on the phone and was like, "Oh, I'm done. They sent me design." Altogether, they paid him 25,000. And this was way back in 2010. I thought that was big money.
That was good money.
For designing wedding invites. And on his laptop, we church internet. It wasn't even his own internet. So I'd gone on a vacation on a sabbatical leave, so to speak, in 2013.
That's after the laundry business.
So I'd taken a break from the laundry business, trying to decide, do I want to take a break and stop it completely or sell the business off? But there was no assets, so there was really nothing to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Sell it off or start something else. So I'd gone on a sabbatical leave, figured out what I wanted to do in media. I didn't know exactly what it was, but came back, my mother got me a laptop. My mother was my first investor in Jonathan Cole. Got me a laptop and said, "I know you said you want to do something in design. So here's a laptop. Figure it out. So I took the laptop, installed CorelDRAW. All these days, I still think CorelDRAW is trash. You know, that's an argument for another day. But I installed CorelDRAW, did my first design. It was my mother. I was so excited. I took the flash to the printers. Told them, "I want to print." They say, "You want to print?" I say, "Yes, I want to print. I designed something, I want to print it." I sharp printed it, brought the banner back. My mother was so happy that I did my first design and printed it. I was so happy as well. When I look at that design now, I'm like, "Who designed this? This is trash."
But of course.
But I mean, so did that. whilst I was running the laundry business, I'd gotten some bit of backlash from people who were like, oh, you don't, what are you doing? Are you going to school? I'm like, I'm running a business. No, why is my running a business not important to you? Why is it education? But I'm making money, I'm, you know, fending for my family, I'm supporting as much as I can. So I'd faced, which is part of the reasons why I went on sabbatical leave, because I had faced some bits of early stage of depression. Now I know now that was early stage of depression, but at that time I didn't know what it was. I just know that I didn't feel so good about how people made me feel. And so I had come back from vacation, also tried to do school at some point, go back to school again. I applied to go to a private university. You know, a private university, the process is a little bit different. It's really about your money. It's not about the cost of Mac. So I applied. They said you have to do a foundation course for a year. I started the foundation course. I didn't go for more than one day because I was like, number one, there was nobody in there who was a business person like me. Number two, I was like, I had my business to run. At the end of the day, I can employ all of you in this class. So I'm going to go back to run my business. Then 2014 started. Was it 2014? 2014, I started what would be called at the time your SaaS company. I was just doing designs at the time. I learned how to do small motion graphics with this thing. So I used to do back in the day for BlackBerry, you know, there was this thing where people used to do for their birthdays. There was this motion stuff people used to do for their birthdays, and MTN used to do it, Airtel, anybody. I started that for a bit of time, and then started running, you know, your SaaS company, then grew into Jonathan Cole, and then, you know, did all this business.
And so you just never thought about school again?
I just never thought about school again. I mean, along the line, I've definitely, you know, taken different courses just to improve myself. But it's more, my goal, that is more learning than education. I'm not interested in the degree. I'm interested in the knowledge. So that has been pretty much my journey so far.
Interesting. So you just woke up one morning, wore suit, and that was it.
Yes.
The school just went out the window.
It went out the window, literally.
When you were leaving that morning, looking for a business loan or a job, did you think that if you got what you wanted, you'd never go back to school?
For me, school wasn't even an option at the time because I didn't see how, it just didn't make sense at the time because my parents, I just needed them to even fund my brother and sister to even go to school.
Right.
Because that's part of the reasons why I didn't bother going to school. I thought, whatever money they have, let them even send my brother and sister to school and leave me out of it. I can figure out stuff for myself. Also, this was very weird, and I don't know how at that age I really figured this out, but I said, I want other people who don't have as much opportunities as I have or have the same opportunity as I have to see that I've done stuff with the opportunity that I have so they can do stuff as well. So if you can't go beyond primary school, it doesn't mean anything.
That
if
you can't
go beyond secondary school, it doesn't mean anything. You can still become something, you know, from your life. And Victor is not the first person who has said this to me. Everybody who I say, oh, I never went to school, they go, okay, are you trying to make a joke or something? I'm like, no, I actually never went to university, you know, so yeah.
That's very interesting. Thank you guys for sharing. So, Victor, my question for you is, in this path, dropping out, running your business, having a first job, starting a company, what would you say has been the biggest challenge that has really shook your core?
I think it's been... I wouldn't say... the effect was not that... that's because, like I said, as opposed to the idea of bravery, it was more of being clear about what I'm trying to do, you know. But one thing that's consistently happened of several things, and I was never really confident with it, was how it took my dad a long time to believe in it. So every time he called me, out of care, he would always ask questions that seemed as though I left school to go learn shoe. Well, that's not a bad thing, but I left school to go learn shoe cobbling in the way you could imagine it, of actually someone, you know, like, hey, I'm not saying you can have a big shoe company, but like that one on the street, that one,
like the one where you carry the bangolo and be walking from house to house.
You're literally a shoe shiner. Yeah, shining shoes for people.
Exactly.
That's the tone I got from his voice consistently for years, and I didn't really like that. So it's consistently worried me, and I would always tell him, no, it's not that bad. It's not even bad. Like, I'm fine, you know? But it was, of course, out of his worry. So, and he never really stopped. So today it would sound like he understood it. And then tomorrow he would, you know, sound that way. And that's really kind of affected me. But it didn't have a negative effect on what I was able to. It didn't distract me from what I was doing. And of course, there's also the part of you're running a business, you've never run one before, you didn't get an MBA or learn or take a course on how to run a business, and then you're making so many wrong decisions that will take you 6 months to find out, take you 1 year to find out, and then 3 years into the business, it's 3 years of errors, really. Even though you have done well for yourself, but you know, you're learning, but I mean, that can be very... and then one memory that I really have, talking about my dad now, was when one of my very first employees, she was, I think it was her final year. I think maybe graduation was the following week. And then we at night, we're just speaking. Because while I was in school, right, I had not fully dropped out, but it was obvious I was not going to classes. Like, people close to me knew that I was not, well, I was still in the school environment, and my office was even around the school's gate. So people who worked with us were still in school, right? But Balaji and I were not actively, it was obvious we were not in school, you know, but we're not officially like left. So one of my first employees spoke with me that one night, I can't forget. She was like, Victor, just to be, because she was looking at herself that she was about to graduate. Like, this is you, my employer. So I was like, do you get worried or will you get pressured? The fact that we are finishing school, do you guys, like, our bosses are not like, you get that kind of, you know.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I was confronted with that question in that way. And I was like, no, that's not the issue. But over time, I've constantly seen people worry for me more than I...
you worry for yourself.
That's, even though it's a care, it can really be a bug too.
Very interesting. Oh, sorry, tell me about you.
Ha, two things. Number one, I had to deal with people, my classmates calling me to ask me what's going on.
Mm.
And to say, hey man, because almost everybody, I know they didn't do it in my school, but if you had, it sounds like I'm trying to hype myself if I say it, but I think if you had done, you know that thing where you say most likely to succeed, you know that list they do in foreign schools where you say most likely to succeed, I would have been the guy, right?
Right.
And, but again, I had to redefine because I didn't have a clear definition of success, what success meant to me.
Mm.
I had a definition of what success meant to the world.
Mm.
So what success meant to the world is go to school, get a degree, do your master's, do your PhD, do your all of that, and then get a job, get a wife, all of that kind of stuff. That's what success meant. And that's what I had taken on. That's what saying, what does success mean to me?
Right.
Right. So I had to deal with people calling me to say, hey, what's going on? How far are you in school? And you know, me, I'm just finishing, we're graduating next week. We're in second year, we're in third year. It seemed like I was the only one in my set who didn't go to school. And it seemed like not going to school was a crime, was a bad thing. So I had to deal with that emotional baggage, or you know what that came with. Second thing I had to deal with was because I always felt like I always felt incomplete.
Hmm.
So that incompletion then led to me start to have panic attacks on projects. What that would mean is I will get a project, and I'm sure you, because I've seen that when I worked, and it still happens to maybe recently when I worked on your project, right? Every time I delay on a project because I'm having panic attacks, it's like I don't know what I'm doing. It's like I don't know what to do. Is that I get to a point where I feel like I shouldn't be doing this thing. I don't have the right to be doing this thing. And I know what to do in my head. It's there. I just don't have
but
the right to do it.
But then just paralyzes
this.
And you,
I just
you
stop there.
It.
So I started to deal with it by having, and this panic ball was actually, stress ball was actually a gift. The stress ball was actually a gift. Not like I even bought it. It was that someone gave it to me as a gift during social media week. And then one day I held it while I was working, and it just seemed to help me
calm down,
work through that project. And I learned, fancy the idea of a fidget spinner, bought one day and saw that also eased me as well. Pens also helped me as well. So now I have a pen somewhere, I have a notepad somewhere, I have a stress ball somewhere, I have also a fidget spinner as well. Those were for me the two, but the panic attack really lasted long and it's still there up till now, but I found a better way to deal with it. But those things came as a point of, I always felt incomplete and incompetent to do what I was doing. Even though I'm smart enough, I know exactly what to do. It's just that
it just comes sometimes.
It just comes all the freaking time on every single project. There's not one project that it hasn't come.
No jokes. Even till now.
Literally till, I'm working on a project now. The reason I came out of my computer is because I'm working on a project. And the reason why I came out of my computer is because it takes me a longer time to get projects done because I have panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have panic attacks, I will get the project done in no time. Because I dare say, Victor can relate to this. A lot of designers can't do logos for themselves or can't do designs for themselves. I'm one of the rare people that can do designs for myself, right? So I know exactly what to do and I'm creative enough to get it done. I'm just getting to a point where I'm like, I can't move. So what then starts to happen is my body starts to shake. I literally start to shake, literally vibrate. And then if I don't have a fidget spinner or a pen or a stress ball, I can't
move forward.
I can now be, what's the word? calm. So those two things have been things that have happened to me in life so far.
But it does get better every day.
It just get better every day because now I know what the triggers are for me.
Right.
And I know how to have a conversation with a client to make the project easier for me. I know how to remove expectation from the client and remove expectation from me so that there's no expectation that's Mount Everest. And
I'm just trying to do stuff.
I just want to create stuff. And if it works, then fine. I've figured out that way. I've also defined what success means to me. So defining what success means to me and also having these things and understanding my triggers and having these things to help me cope or get through my day has been the way I've sort of solved my challenges. Those have been the two challenges that I've had that I remember.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. So this question, I think I know the answer, but I'll just ask it anyway. If you're going to do this all over again, if you had an opportunity to go back to, say, 2010, and say there are different things in your journey that you can change, right? Would you change anything?
So actually, my answer is not what you assume it is.
I shock me.
Yeah, so yeah, two things. It's two, you know. First, when I look back, I think I'm proud of the decision I've made because I was alone when saying, hey guys, you guys should see this thing as clearly as I'm saying. It's not a big deal. Stop stressing. However, to be very sincere, the reason I left school was that school was asking for commitment, right? I saw the need to give commitments to my clients and to my parts and as a designer. And I couldn't deliver those two commitments to those two different things. Right. So I think if I go back in time, I probably could consider to learn how to be able to give to both, which would have, I think, prepared me and trained me even better for now. I'm still not as disciplined as I could be, but thanks to Bolaji, my co-founder, he holds the fort from that side of things.
Yeah.
Right? But maybe if I faced and fought with it then, right? Maybe I would have learned something. You know, that would have been me trying to work some. So if I stayed in school, it would have forced me to work on that weakness of my ability to, you know, work harder and combine both. But then it's just two ways. I went with my strengths and it has paid off well as well. So I'm not really clear what I would do, but I'm not going to just tell you, oh, if I go back in time, I'll repeat it exactly the same. No, I probably would just think about it further and decide.
That's a very good answer. I mean, because it shows that there's been a lot of growth and you have the ability to now look at your life in retrospect and say, maybe I could have made a different decision that could have still panned out really okay.
I definitely would change a couple of things. I would learn how to manage money better, because if I learned how to manage money better, I would have saved a lot of money from my first business and be able to run and have more money to run to set up Jonathan Cole to run a little more faster. Because I feel like if I have some injection of funds right now from, and I don't like to borrow money, I'd rather just have money,
build the capital
myself. So I would have that. That's one. Two, I would definitely...
So no 6 months BlackBerry subscription as I
thought. I would have done 6 months BlackBerry subscription still, but I would have saved my... Because I used to go out a lot on weekends. I used to spend a lot of money going out to my friends on weekends. I used to buy a lot of things, you know, food, whatever. I just enjoyed my life. That's what it was. So the BlackBerry subscription would stay, but every other thing else, I could have just toned it down just a little bit. Yeah. I was like, I'm tired of working. I'm going to buy ice cream, you know? And I spent good money on this because I would buy for myself and my whole family. Right. That's one. Two, I would have found a way to travel more.
Okay.
That's one thing I think I would have done. Travel more, but also travel more for education and learning. Just going to, you know what, maybe go and learn and do some other things, which is what I'm also trying to do, which is what I'm doing right now in this time in my life. But I don't think I would... I still might have not gone to school. I don't think I would still go to school now, because then I wasted time because I had gone 2 years. I would have finished secondary school and then just started my business. That's what I think I should have done versus
waiting and trying
to go to school. Because when I say to people that, oh, it was because we didn't have money to go to school, I'm like, I tell myself that's a lie, because you could have paid your way. School is not really that expensive.
Yeah.
It's really not that expensive. Yeah.
You had the 200K, you'd have paid your...
I really had money, to be honest. I wasn't really a big boy, so I could have paid my school fees. But because I just, you know, so I would have started doing these things earlier and then maybe not do the laundry business at all. I learned lessons from it. I learned bookkeeping. I learned all those things. But maybe even just figure out what I really want to do and then start that thing. So I would have done 8-10 years now versus doing 6 years, because I sort of lost 4 years or 3 years thereabouts, you know, just, so yes, that's what I would have done differently.
But I mean, there's a place of timing. Maybe the laundry business, you needed to do that to have even an inclination of business at all to be able to now do what you're doing right now.
But the good thing about it is that we make decisions on what we want to do. Life then happens to us all the time.
Oh yeah, of course.
So you say, you know, I would have got, I wanted to get married when I was 25. I'm almost 30 now. I don't have a girlfriend. You know, but
life just happens.
Life just happens, right? And then, you know, and then people like Victor will not let me hear what about this relationship. You know,
he's wearing a shirt.
Yes, and he says, I'm like, what? I don't care. Too much information. You're wearing a shirt. So what? Point is, life always happens to us, and it takes us in a direction where we need to go, not where we go want on. To go.
Mm.
Because the direction that we want to go.
It's just based on our limited knowledge at that time.
And it's not a bad idea. It's just that we need some certain principles and skills and stuff to have in our life. That's why life takes us through where we need to go. So that when we go to where we need to go, where you want to go is still there. But you will get there, but you have to learn some certain lessons along that path. So,
right. So final words, guys. Victor, final words from you.
Any wise words, sir?
Bless us with your wisdom.
Bless us with your wisdom.
So I think... it's fine to accept per time that there's a lot of things you don't know. It's fine to accept at times to look back and learn about things you could have done better. Mm-hmm. It's fine for you to believe in your decision at the moment, knowing that even if you fail, you can always, you know, learn from that failure.
So own the decisions you're trying to make.
Own it. And you shouldn't decide on something just because everybody's pressuring you to. You want to look at exactly what they're saying, because a lot of times people are speaking based on a lot of biases and fears. Inside the biases and fears, there might be some truths. So you want to check to find if you can find that truth, not just accept what they're saying because a lot of people are saying it. So I was speaking with my sister. I mean, let me just bring this in a bit to talk about the strengths, why we can't just accept opinions because it's public general opinions. I was speaking with my sister and she was advising me on my intention to lock my hair. And I was talking about that she likes, like, it's not a bad idea or like nothing, you know, but there's a public perception against how things like this looks, that am I not bothered, that whatever, take it or leave it. Many people, for some reasons, even though it's just their stereotypes, believe that it's not decent, right?
Yeah.
And earlier in that call, she was asking me, for the opt-in time, I now cook for myself, right? And that I should be able to, I'm like, I still buy food outside. And she's like, wait, so are you planning to marry and your wife will now be your cook? Yeah, you know that it's no longer like, you can't, and I'm like, of course. You know, I'm coming to that. I'm like, of course, in the family, I'm probably the least traditional. So I'm probably the first to adopt or to agree that definitely I can't be marrying and be thinking it's my woman's job to cook for me. So yeah, I would fix that. But I get your point, but trust me, I fully agree on that. Now, by the time we got to the dreads point, then I said, let's go back to what you said earlier. 100 years ago, it would be insane for you to have that conversation with me to say, I hope you're not planning to marry and expect your wife to be doing all the cooking for you. 100 years ago, of course, I should be marrying and expecting my wife to cook for me. I shouldn't even know how to boil water.
Mm-hmm.
And that was general public opinion. But certain people, the people now like, you know, call Coven and, you know, that's a lot of derogatory words against. But feminists had to stand against the supposed public opinions, right? And say, yeah, everybody agrees with this, but it doesn't make sense. And now it's gradually becoming the norm that you shouldn't be getting married and expecting gender roles, that your wife is in charge of that. So I'm like, the same thing with the fact that the public, if I accept that public perception, I will be strengthening it. So that applies again to general life decisions. Everybody, you can ask 10 people and they all say this way. But you want to see exactly, you want to analyze what exactly they're saying and not go for it because 10 people said it, not for the sake of 10 over 10. So that's very important for me.
Sir, wow. Thank you. That's did you finish?
Right now we can collect offering and close the church.
It's just sorry, the last words, 30 seconds.
My last words would be everything is possible, nothing is impossible.
Mm.
Because if you look at our life 10 years ago, everything that we're doing now, there's no template for it. We didn't see what we're doing now as the reality. I mean, we knew what we were going to do, we just didn't know how we're going to do it. Right, you know, so we're still doing podcasts, but the podcast is it's in a dynamic, you know, one of us is not in the building, the other one is in the building, but this is the new, so when people say to me new normal, I mean, no, you don't understand, new normal was the day they announced the new normal.
After that,
it's normal. This is normal, right? So no matter what the idea you have in your heart or in your mind or your brain, it's possible. Anything can happen, anything is possible. You just need to dream even more to say, hey, you know what? This is what I want to create. This is what I think can be done. And then boom, go for it.
Amazing. Thank you so much, guys. There are two things I'm taking from this conversation particularly. There's a lot that you guys said.
You want to give more
something?
Yeah, I wanted to add something. I mean, I didn't give you guys my sister's response after making the analogy. She said, now I rest my case.
Nice one. So the two things I'm taking from this conversation is clarity and courage, right? Clarity from Victor's story, because mm-hmm. he was clear. He said it was a thing of understanding,
yeah.
Right? It was not bravery. It was understanding that mm-hmm. if you understand what you are doing and why you're doing it and the things required for you, particular path you want to follow. Because if it was Metin, obviously that wouldn't have worked.
True.
Know the path that you have chosen to follow, what is required, and that understanding, let it fall the decisions that you make.
Absolutely.
And also it's his own, right? He didn't say it, but it was a lot of courage. It was courage to wake up that morning and be like, you know, suit and tie.
I don't care what you say.
Loads, jobs, you know, starting laundry business, taking sabbatical. He has just been that person who is like, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to wing it. Fail, start again.
Right.
And I would, you know, own my decisions and whatever comes with it, the baggage, the attacks, I'm still going to be strong enough and courageous enough to deal with it and push through it at every particular time. So thank you guys so much for
this amazing conversation.
I really appreciate it.
I can't wait to hear it too as well. Like, I want to be re-inspired.
Right. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to like, share, comment, share. And please send me an email at thevulnerabilitypodcast@gmail.com. I definitely want to see your responses to this story. See you another time. Peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Vulnerability Podcast. You can send us an email, vulnerabilitypodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at @the_vulnerabilitypodcast. Follow your host at @peaceitimi on Twitter and Instagram. This episode was edited by Feifei and is available on all podcast listening platforms. Kindly rate, share, and review.